an idea that exists in the hearts of everyone, to put the resources into the hands of the people, to increase the quality and benefits of their life. Let's remove the middleman. Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Dark City Compassion Club awaits you. It's your radio.
Hello, and welcome everybody out there to the Dark City Compassion Club. And tonight you are joined on the panel by Bob, Sean, Sarah, and myself, Martin, who will be hosting the show this evening. We have with us a guest, Sarah Swain of Swain Law, and she is an attorney who is speaking on behalf of Shona Banda, who is a cannabis activist in Kansas, in the United States. So what I'd like to do, because obviously Sarah's here as an attorney representing Shona, I'd just like to kind of theme the show on incarceration, and I'd like to just introduce the show by explaining a short concept and just getting that, you know, imprinted into our minds before we start the show. So I just want everyone to just visualize for a moment a slave ship moving through the ocean. Let's say it could be between the UK and the US. And there's a galleon, and there's full of slaves, and there are slaves who are rowing the boat, and people who are coming up and whipping the slaves and making them row much faster each time. Now imagine if there was no slave master, but the slave was there and he had no one beating him, telling him to row faster, but he was trying to row faster and row hard and get further than all the other slaves without anyone beating on them. And I'd like to ask the audience, what drives you to go further than the slaves without any pressure? What pushes you on and makes you want to just go there and become free? So that's basically the topic of tonight's show. If anyone would like to discuss that, call in 0161 298 0298. We're welcoming callers. Please do call in. And without further ado, I'll introduce Sarah Swain to everyone. Sarah, can you make yourself heard for the listeners? And we'd like to just tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
Well, I'm happy to be here. I'm an attorney in Lawrence, Kansas, long ways away from where most of these listeners are at. But I'm happy to be here on the show talking about Shona's case, and I think it's an incredibly important case. I have made it clear from my first moment working on this case that my goal is to use this case as a springboard to make real change to the way that marijuana or cannabis is treated in this country, and I really will not be happy until we have cannabis looked at as medicine that's saving people's lives. And if we have to take our fight all the way to the United States Supreme Court to have this plant rescheduled so that it's not treated as a Schedule I drug, that's what we're going to do. And we're not going to stop fighting until we make those changes and allow everyone out there who is in pain, suffering, that has cancer and seizures and Crohn's disease, Alzheimer's, all of these different things that affect people. We're not going to stop until all of those people have what they should already have, which is the right to treat themselves with the safest, most natural medicine that exists on the planet, which is cannabis.
Thank you. Okay, thanks for that introduction, Sarah. I just want to say that we're not stopping either, and that you're, convinced that you're not going to stop until the U.S. Supreme Court has changed the scheduling of the cannabis as a drug. And I just want to say that we're not stopping either. Thanks for introducing yourself. Could you tell us a little bit about how you met Shauna and how that came about?
Well, it's an interesting story. The day that all of this went down, I was in my car, and I am friends with a fellow cannabis activist here in Kansas who actually ran for governor last year, and unfortunately she was not elected, and we have a governor who is an embarrassment to our great state of Kansas. But she ran on a platform that in part was about legalizing cannabis in the state of Kansas and allowing people access to it as medicine and recreationally. And unfortunately, she did not win in that race, but she's someone who is known throughout the state as a supporter of the issue. So the day that the Garden City Police Department decided that they were going to raid Shauna's house, she immediately called our mutual friend, not really knowing what to do. The police had surrounded her home and were not allowing her access to her home. And so she was given my phone number. She called me. And so really I've been part of this case from, you know, the earliest stages. And obviously, as I'm sure most of the listeners know at this point, her child was taken into state custody on that day and has been in state custody ever since. It took the prosecutors over 2 months to finally decide to move forward with charges, but they have now filed 5 charges against Shauna, and if convicted of those charges, she's facing over 30 years in prison.
It's absolutely tragic. Would you be able to let us, the listeners and the panel, let us know how is Shauna's child? Do you know the name of her son? Sorry, I don't.
Well, due to confidentiality reasons, his identity is supposed to be protected. I will tell you that at every step of the way, this case has not been handled properly or professionally. And so shortly after, I think the day after this happened, we published Shauna's name, her address, and I believe even her son's name in the local paper, which is just insane that they would think that was appropriate to do that. But, I mean, obviously it's very difficult on her and her son. She went from being with him, you know, all day, every day, essentially, a full-time mom to him, to really only getting to see him occasionally. There were some weeks where she didn't see him at all. We are obviously working on getting that remedied. But now that these very, very serious charges have been filed, obviously, we have to fight them, because at the end of the day, if Shauna ends up going to prison, then she's not going to have any contact with her son. So we sort of have to balance both of these cases and the interests of both of these cases at the same time, and know that one is obviously going to affect the other. And the last thing that I want to see is Shauna ending up in jail or in prison and completely losing her right to be a parent to her child, the one that we're speaking of. And she also has another son who's 18, who is very much supporting her and doing everything that he can to help her through this process.
Okay, that's a great answer. Could you let us know about the charges filed against her? You say there's five of them.
Absolutely. The most serious charge that she has facing her is what we call in Kansas a level one drug felony. That is the equivalent of someone who has a meth lab. I say that because a lot of people aren't really familiar with various drug laws, but a lot of people have some idea of how dangerous, you know, it would be to have a meth lab in your home, which I don't think we're dealing with anything even in the ballpark of that. But the level one drug that she has is essentially possessing with the intent to distribute, manufacturing with the intent to distribute to marijuana within 1,000 feet of a school. And yet there's no evidence anywhere that Shauna ever distributed anything. This is a case about a woman who had cannabis in her home, used it for medicine, made cannabis oil herself so that she could take that as medicine. And the effect physically on her of not having had her medicine for the last couple of months as this has been pending is really rather catastrophic. I mean, when you watch someone and see physically how devastating it is for them not to have their medicine, it's really hard not to let that make you become very, very angry. And watching her, you know, not be able to maintain weight, lose weight. She's had numerous health problems as a result of not having access to her medicine. And it's time for that to end. It's time for that to end. And I'm going to do whatever I can to try to be the person that helps make that happen.
Wonderful, Sarah. And we're all backing you 100% to get that done. I just want to remind the listeners that if anyone wants to call in and ask Sarah any questions, the number's 0161-298-0298. Sarah, recently I saw on GoFundMe.com a really successful crowdfunder for Shauna. She asked for $15,000 and she got $47,000, so it says on the website. Could you tell me about that? If you know anything, of course.
It's been absolutely amazing, the outpouring of support that Shauna has received, that I have received as her attorney. But the cannabis community, and really just, I really feel like the entire nation and really even the world has come together to stand behind Shauna Banda. It really has been just an absolutely wonderful thing to watch. You know, fighting charges like this it's not simple, it's not easy, it's not quick, and it's certainly not cheap. And with our goal being to absolutely litigate every aspect of this case and not stop fighting until true change happens, and if that requires taking this case all the way to the United States Supreme Court to make that happen, then that's what we're dedicated to. And obviously that requires money. And Shauna Banda is not a woman that has money. She's not someone who had money in the bank, who had an ability to hire an attorney, who had an ability to do even things like post her bond in this case, or I mean, honestly, when I first got involved, she didn't even have a computer, and it was very difficult for me to keep in contact with her about different aspects of the case. So having this money and these donations that people have been willing to reach into their pocket and get their wallet out and say, you know, I'm going to put $10 or $50 or $100 down in support of this cause, and watch how many people have done that. It has really inspired me as the attorney on the case to understand how many people's lives are affected by this issue and to want to make sure that, you know, I'm doing everything I can to help all of these people because they're doing everything they can to help us, and it's greatly appreciated.
Well, yeah, it's it shows. I mean, you've gone with showing a story. You've gone from the Guardian in the UK, which is a very big newspaper, to even having a discussed on Ron Paul's little political show that he does. Do you know any do you know just from experience how far this story's gone? The sort of people who've got in touch with you, maybe.
It's amazing. I sat in my office yesterday and, you know, I'm not an attorney who's used to cases like this. I mean, I take on very difficult cases and I have a lot of experience, but nothing really prepares you for sitting in your office and watching Ron Paul, a former or current presidential candidate, talk about one of your cases on a television show or internet show. It's amazing, and it really shows to me what it shows how ready this country is for change. People from the bottom all the way up to the top are in agreement that it is time for this to change. And I loved the tagline of Ron Paul's video, which was, "This is the perfect case for jury nullification, because not only are we going to change this once and for all, but it's important that people know that if they are selected to be on a jury and the state has decided to enforce what they consider to be an unjust law, they can just say, I can't find this person guilty. I do not believe in that law." And, you know, I think that encouraging that kind of rebellion is, it's important. It's one of our rights as a citizen of this country. And unfortunately, we have too many people that are willing to do whatever the government tells them to do. And that's how we've ended up with a prison population greater than any other country has. And that's how we've ended up with millions of people, let alone tens of millions of family members affected by the war on drugs, which, you know, I keep saying the war on drugs is really just a war on poor people and a war on minorities. It's a war on the disenfranchised is what it is. And as citizens, if we don't agree with that, then we need to be willing to stand up in court and tell prosecutors that they need to stop prosecuting people like Shauna Banda. That's the only way, other than getting it changed federally, that we can stop the insanity of filling our prisons with people that are not violent, that are not out raping and robbing and murdering, but that are simply using a plant that is the safest medicine on the planet. And it's got to stop. And I think 2015 is the time, is the year for that to happen.
I'm glad you brought up the war on drugs there, Sarah, because you're talking to a panel of generals in the war, and we're all leading our own armies, of cells in our bodies, and taking mastery over the war in our own way. And the thing is, we're winning the war, and it's only a matter of time until we get to incarcerate those who we see guilty of war crimes. I'm just gonna open up to the panel now, because I'm joined by a number of other guests tonight, and I was just wondering if anyone had anything to say. Bob or Sean, do you want to maybe jump? Sorry. Hello?
Yeah, it's okay. It was a bit of feedback coming through from Sarah there. Hi, Sarah. My name's Paul. They call me Bob. Brutal. And we may have a mock. And the B word as well. You can work that bit out. I understand we may have quite a few American listeners this evening. As Martin said, I don't know, I like the analogy we are generals, in that fact that we generally work towards bringing forward a solution to the problems that are faced, not just by us as individuals, but I must admit most of us have had our own problems, and that's how we've learned, by solving our own problems, and we share those with others. Hopefully we'll never have a lot of listeners, because they will hear us and they will get on and take action in their life rather than keep tuning in, you know, and listening. Now, what I want, I'm trying to get some similarities, Sarah, between England and the US. I know the laws are different. However, we are starting to use similar terms, the war on drugs. I asked Neil Woods, ex-police officer for 23 years, only recently on Dark City, if we could actually prosecute when we win the war on drugs. Because this word war on drugs is being used pretty much universally now. Do you think we will ever get to a case where we can prosecute these war criminals for the persecution of good, honest people who are creating no loss, no harm to anyone else? And in the case you're representing, there wasn't even any deception. She actually was open and honest and told everybody what she was doing. So do you think that we will ever get to a point where we, the victims in this, will actually be able to prosecute for war crimes?
Oh, it's such a great question. The only analogy that's coming to my mind, and it's probably because of the introduction in the very beginning of this show about the slave ship and the people rowing, is, you know, for some reason, what is coming to my mind is the idea that in our country, after we outlawed slavery, was there really any reparations made for the millions of people that had been affected by slavery? I mean, we're in 2015, that is still being debated. Are people owed reparations for what their family members went through under slavery? To me, the way that I would frame this issue is, what's most important to me is making the change in this country that allows all of these sick people access to their medicine. And I don't have a problem at all with people that want to use cannabis recreationally, people that need cannabis as their medicine. I think for too long, this movement has not been pushed far enough forward, because I see a lot of infighting within the movement. There's a lot of groups, there's a lot of splinters, and it seems like there's just a lot of backstabbing that goes on. And the message that I've been sending, that I've been trying to get out, is we all are on the same team. We all need to be working together. And that's why I love being here with you guys on this show, because you're across the ocean and yet we're all still on the same team. So everybody needs to come together to work towards this cause. We need to bring the people that are already activists, that are already doing the job and have been fighting the fight, and we need to bring them together with the people that maybe have jobs where they've been unable to publicly express their support. They have, you know, not spoken out for fear of some sort of retribution at work, at home. I mean, Shauna's case is a perfect example. If you're someone who believes in this cause and you speak freely to your children, what happens when your children then go to school and speak freely? Well, what might happen is you might get your house raided and be looking at going to prison for 30 years. So We all have to be on the same page. We're all fighting the same fight for the same goal, which is people being able to use this plant, this say, natural answer to positively impact their life. And will we prosecute the war criminals? I mean, if you want my honest answer, I would say probably not. But will we save millions of people's lives and make millions of people's lives better by making this change? Yes. And is that good enough for me? For me, that is a lofty enough goal. And maybe once we achieve that, then we can figure out what the next goal is.
Brilliant answer. You see, I do actually know the way the current situation is. In the land of the free, I do believe you're speaking from. The irony in that, that these people aren't actually free. That's the truth of it. And they are being persecuted by what is no different than what we would have considered to be a Nazi in 1945. That's what's actually happening. And not just in the US, of course, Sarah. I'm not beating on the Americans here, of course. I think they might have even pinched it from the English. In that case, we are definitely in this war together, without a doubt. And it is a war that was declared on us. The Misuse of Drugs Act within the United Kingdom, in its nature, being applied to cannabis just makes it ridiculous legislation. I also ask a question to many people. Decriminalisation. I won't load the question for you, Sarah. I feel like you are kind of battling on that, on side with us. But I've asked a few people, and they normally come up with the answer that it's the first step in legislation. So, if this is the case, what would we call sensible legislation? We had a Queen's Commission not too long ago in the United Kingdom, which decided, you know, if things needed to be legislated or not, if they were dangerous, brought on through. The means was the lack of the man hours and loss of injury and loss of man hours in the workplace, and the means was horse riding. So we have a horse riding scenario. If it's more dangerous than horse riding, we need legislation. If it's less dangerous than horse riding, then there is no need to have any legislation. Now, of course, I know it's different in the US, but there must be similarities within what's being legislated, or to use, you know, whatever terms you use there in America. What would you consider would be sensible legislation? Or are you in the same mind as myself that a plant that has caused no harm or injury at all is less dangerous than ping pong? That's table tennis. I'm not quite sure what you call it. And it's definitely a lot safer to have in your garden than rhubarb, which potentially can kill. So where do you think the legislation, if any, there should be regarding this healing plant that's never hurt anyone?
Well, one thing that you will learn about me, and you'll probably learn it fairly quickly, is that I'm a rather belligerent person. And I think that's one of the reasons why I am so happy to be leading the charge. We had an article written about the case that said that we have declared war on the war on drugs, which is exactly what I love referring to this as. Because instead of them going after us, we're going after them. It is total insanity in the year 2015 for this plant to be illegal. It is complete and total insanity. And I'm not someone who has been a big cannabis activist my whole life. I don't have a lot of experience in litigating issues like this. But what I do have experience in is fighting uphill battles and fighting battles that require shining a spotlight in areas that people would prefer to keep dark. And one thing that this case has done is it has really, really put the spotlight on Garden City, Kansas, on the prosecutor that made the decision to prosecute Shauna, to the fullest extent of the law, to essentially tell this woman that because she chose to use a medicine that kept her alive, that she was going to be stripped of her right to be a mother, and possibly her right to even just exist in society as a citizen. You know, it is possible that she will end up behind bars. So, what is sensible legislation? Marijuana needs to be rescheduled. It is not a Schedule I drug. It is not dangerous. In our country, in order for something to be a Schedule I drug, there can be no medicinal benefits to that substance. That is the parameters set by the government. So to have marijuana that our country, our government has patented for its medicinal benefits, still continue to prosecute people and put them in jail and put them in prison and destroy families over a plant that the government itself has acknowledged has medicinal benefits is absolutely wrong. It is unconstitutional, and it has to be, it can't just be decriminalizing it. I don't like that word, because that implies that it's still basically a crime, but we're going to maybe lessen the penalties. There should be no penalties for people that are using this plant to save their lives, to save the lives of their children. You know, if my daughter got sick tomorrow, and I believe that cannabis oil would save her life, there, without a doubt, I would absolutely do whatever it took to get her that medicine. And it breaks my heart that there are so many people in the world that are being forced to make those kinds of decisions. Do I save my child or do I follow the law? I'm sorry. People save their children when given those kinds of chances. And for the government to come in and say that there's something wrong with that and we're going to put you in prison for it is just absolutely disgraceful.
You know, you mentioned a couple of points there I could have picked up on. I'll do them in reverse order. I only have two, and then we have Sean who's going to ask you a question, I think. The second one was medicinal benefits and no medicinal benefits, no therapeutic value. That's the same. We're the same in the UK. It's exactly the same. Preposterous, isn't it? That's what they say in England. Oh, it's got no benefit. And then they prescribe it. And remember, when you look at England, it's just like one state in America, really. You know, really look at, if you see it that way, if you're not familiar with how it works. So, yeah, we've got our state in America saying that it's exactly the same as you. Many people say it's the first state of the United States of America, you know, England. And you'll hear other people say, is it the 52, 52nd, 53? Excuse me, I'm not that good with your states. But the other one, Sarah, was just you said something about, you know, it's going to be an uphill struggle. And, you know, you said you've not been an activist in this field, but just let me tell you something, which I'm sure from what you've said you haven't realised, and I love sharing information with people, I think they don't know. There is a legal responsibility, and, you know, as a barrister or a solicitor, you've been more than fair with your legal responsibility. However, there is a moral responsibility, which supersedes any law, any law. A moral high ground. And you have stood on it. You stood on it. We took the moral high ground already. We took it years ago. This is the moral high ground. Now, whether the legal people beneath us, have realised that yet, that is another question. But when a law is unjust, then we have a moral responsibility to do something about it. A moral responsibility. And I do think in most cases, especially in the United Kingdom, then the authority of the crime comes from God. And even if you go down that line, even God in his book promotes what we're actually talking about. It was just a more of a point for you, really, there. You're on the moral high ground. I do accept legally, on the legal side of things, you may have an uphill struggle, but I also suspect that you will not want for support. The way things that are changing, there are so many people now jumping on the bandwagon who, well, I've become incredibly popular over the last week or two. It is ridiculous. And the people that now want to talk to us, suddenly they're not my people. Suddenly they're not the people that have spoke about the moral high ground for such a long time. They're not. They are those people that would have been considered to be wealthy and influential. These are the people now that suddenly come to us here, our group, and myself here at Dark City, to find out what is really going on regarding cannabis oil. What is I say to most of them, go on Facebook. Go on Google. Type it in the internet. Have you not heard of it? The internet? We're all working together now to bring forward, you know, sensible policy. Sensible policy. And I think if we're going to have a sensible policy, you don't start by using it against the weakest, the poorest, the most unfortunate in our societies. We use that legislation against the perpetrators, not against the victims. Anyway, I've had my little ramble. Thank you very much indeed. Sean.
That's okay, don't worry. Hi, Sarah. So is this about...
Hello.
Is this about Shauna being targeted for her activism? Is the state stamping their authority? Are they making an example out of Shauna basically using her son?
I don't know the answers to that question. I think that's certainly a reasonable conclusion that you could reach. Here's the sad thing, and I think about this a lot. I've been a criminal defense attorney for 15 years. I've represented thousands of clients during that time. Shauna Banda is, while facing this epic battle that we have in front of us, she is in a somewhat enviable position in that, one, she has had people reach out and offer financial support through the GoFundMe. She has had moral and emotional support from followers of hers and friends and acquaintances, people that she has helped through her own activism from all over the world that have come forward to help her make it through this difficult time. She has had the media be absolutely supportive in telling her story and getting it out there. And what really makes me sad is when I think about the thousands of people in this country every day, all of the other Shaunas that nobody's talking about. This is an issue of mass proportions. You know, that's why in the interviews I've given, I keep letting people know that this issue is bigger than Shauna Banda. We have the fortunate position of getting to the face of this issue at the moment, but there are thousands of people, millions of people in this country that are being prosecuted every day, that are being locked up, whose families are being destroyed, who are being sent to prison, who are dying because they don't have access to their medicine, whose children are dying because they don't have access to their medicine. So are they making an example out of Shauna because of the fact that she's an activist? Maybe not, though. This is really her story is really just another story about prosecutors who believe that they're doing the right thing when they lock people up who use or possess cannabis, and that their goal is to lock those people up for as long as they can. That's just how it works in this country. And it is a sad state of affairs that that's how it works. And hopefully the attention that this case is getting will positively impact all of those other people's lives and cases and the penalties that they're looking at.
Well, thank you very much for your answer. Actually, the cynic in me suggests to me that perhaps the prosecutors aren't acting I don't think they do believe that they're doing the right thing. I think that perhaps there maybe is a certain amount of malice, because I don't believe that any reasonable human could do these things without a certain degree of malice being behind it. I've got one more question for you, if that's okay. What do the people of Kansas think about this? You've told us that people all over the world have supported Shauna. But I think maybe the most important question is, what do the people of Kansas think? Because if Shauna goes to trial, it's going to be the people of Kansas. It's going to be 12, I believe, in a U.S. jury. It's going to be 12 of the people of Kansas who are going to decide what happens to Shauna. So what do the people of Kansas think about this?
Well, just to follow up on, you know, the cynic in you, I don't know if you watched the Ron Paul video that I think was released yesterday, but the quote that I took out of it, I put on my Swain Law Office Facebook page, was, it seems like to be a good prosecutor, you almost have to be somebody without a conscience. Those are not my words. Those are the words that Ron Paul used in describing how someone, i.e. a prosecutor, could continue to enforce these laws and to send people to prison. I mean, in this country, we have people doing life sentences for marijuana possession. And that was a quote that I took out of the Ron Paul video that I watched yesterday. And so, you know, I think it's all, we all have our own opinions on that subject, but certainly I think that a lot of prosecutors think that their job is just to seek the maximum penalty in every case. And it doesn't matter if the name is Shauna Banda or if the name is Sarah Swain or if the name is Joe Smith, their goal is going to be to seek the maximum sentence they can. As far as the support in Kansas, I have been absolutely astounded by the just amazing support that we have seen coming from all angles. There was a front page article that appeared in the Garden City paper the day after Shauna surrendered herself and posted a $50,000 bond so that she could be out pending litigating these charges. I felt like absolutely supportive of the issue. And, you know, that's a newspaper that's in Garden City, Kansas, more than likely where this case will be tried. And there have been articles really all over the state in newspapers and social media that have been shared that have absolutely expressed support for Shauna, that have expressed contempt for the prosecutor's decisions as far as what they chose to, what they chose to charge her with and the penalties. So I think that there's absolutely a lot of support, and certainly, we're very early in on this case. We've been litigating it for less than a week at this point. So we have months and months and months in front of us, if not years in front of us, of continuing, hopefully, to gather all of those people into a coalition of support to help us make sure that Shauna does not end up in prison.
Absolutely, Sarah. Thanks so much for coming on and sharing your story. It's just been an honour to have you on. I'm so glad to cover this topic. It's absolutely fantastic. Sarah's on the panel tonight. She's been dropping in and out. Cause she's calling all the way from Crete. She's supposed to be on holiday, but she loves this so much that she wants to go in. Sarah, are you able to say something and ask Sarah a question? Sarah Dugan,
Sarah's
are you able to
ask? Sarah's here at the moment. She's lost sound. Paul in Manchester, could you try and reconnect the sound, please? Oh, Sarah, can you hear us now? No, she's dropped off again, unfortunately.
Okay, no worries. Sarah Swain, is there anything to do? Two questions. The first question is, are you able to comment on the legal remedy that you're pursuing?
I accepted the invitation from Dark City to come on. It's really from saying I'm not going to really...
Right, I just ignore that and carry on if you could.
Yeah. sorry about that, Sarah. Is there any legal remedy that you're pursuing as shown to turn a debt to regain custody?
Do you think it's important that is?
I'm sorry about that. Sarah keeps trying to jump in and she's got a bad connection. So, do you want me to start the question again, Sarah?
Sure, yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, okay. Forget the last question. What can we do as an audience to help Shona right now? What are the solutions? What are the actions we can take?
Well, there's a few things that people can do. One is we have an online petition that we started. The last I checked, I think we were close to 150,000 signatures on that. I think there's definitely something to the saying that there's strength in numbers. So while it might not seem like a lot to the average person, you know, it's free, it's easy, it takes less than 5 minutes to jump on and add your name to that petition, which is a petition basically asking the county attorney to not proceed with charges against Shauna. So that's one thing that people can do that's easy and free. Anyone who wants to support Shauna and help make a contribution financially, anything from, you know, the most minimal donation up to the GoFundMe that she has is always appreciated. And I have links to both of those on my Facebook page, the Swain Law Office. If people want to search that, my last name is Swain, N as in Nancy. The other thing that I would recommend that people do is all of these organizations have Facebook pages, have email addresses. And I have been encouraging people that if there's something that they want to express to either the Finney County Attorney's Office or to the Garden City Police Department as far as asking for them to reconsider or even just as a show of support. You know, we want you to know that we support Shauna. We don't believe Shauna should be facing all of this time in prison. We don't believe we should be going forward with these charges. Certainly reaching out to the people, because ultimately at the end of the day, it is the absolute discretion of the prosecutor how they decide to move forward with the case. And if their decision is that they are going to seek prison time and seek, you know, whatever the maximum penalty is that they can get, which is generally how prosecutors are, then, you know, we have absolutely no choice but to just battle this thing out to the death. And hopefully that's a saying and not a reality. But I keep reminding people that sending Shauna Bandit to prison is the equivalent of a death sentence. Taking away this woman's medicine and putting her in prison where we have little to no medical care, knowing she has a debilitating condition. It is the literal equivalent to a death sentence as far as I'm concerned. And I think the more that we can show how much support she has, the better chance we have of possibly someone seeing the light and doing the right thing.
Absolutely, Sarah. You're absolutely right. I can't fault you. What you're doing is spectacular. If I was in Shona's situation, I'd want an attorney like you back in there. Let's just say that. Sarah has been trying to come in and say something, but she's on a bad lag line. But she really wanted to get the point across to you that ordinary people here in the UK are going through this exact same thing right now. And I'm even sat here and my brain's ticking over. I'm thinking of starting some kind of campaign in the UK along the lines of Are You Shona? Hashtag. You know, are you having your human rights violated? Have you had your children taken away from that? Are you scared? You're medicating right now. Are you scared that you're going to have your kids taken away from you while you're on medication? Are you scared that you may even be able, maybe get a death sentence put upon you for what you're doing, for standing up for your own health? That's what I'm thinking of going right now. And I'm sure I'm going to take that somewhere. And if anyone's out there listening who wants to get involved with us at Dark City or with Sarah herself, please do. I just want to get out there to the listeners, supportshona.com. It's a really important website with all the great bits of information on there about Shona and her story and about what we can do right now. What we need to do is start ringing Garden City Police Department in Kansas. We need to start asking them questions. We need to start asking them the right questions in an adult way, in a responsible way. We need to apply pressure, but we need to apply pressure in a certain way, which is to be for it to be productive and not counterproductive, right? And you know, if you talk to your peers and your groups before doing these kind of actions, you'll get a much better output. So Garden City Police Department, their phone number's right up there at the bottom of the page, supportshona.com. The police chief James Hawkins, please get him on the ringer. The city manager Matt Allen, and the governor of Kansas, San Brownback. So yeah, please, anyone's listening now who wants to apply some pressure and really help Shona and help Sarah and help everyone. I mean, this affects everyone. Please go and support Shona.com, bottom of the page. Check those numbers out and get dialing and get active in your local area. Because, like I say, this issue that Shona's going through, it's affecting everybody right now. And we all need to tell the world that this plant has a medical benefit and we are within our rights to medicate with it. It's safe for our families. And the evidence is there. The hard evidence is there now, which is why we have won the war on drugs. We're just waiting for the results to come in, basically. Sarah, thank you ever so much for joining us tonight. It's been an absolute honour. Is there anything you'd like to leave the listeners with? Any point you'd like to leave with before we finish the show?
Yeah, the last thing I would like to say is that, you know, Shona has an absolutely amazing story, and what started all of this was her figuring out that she needed to learn how to treat herself, and she learned how to make this oil, and she chronicled that journey from trying to mother her children from a hospital bed and a couch to, you know, living a full active lifestyle thanks to cannabis oil in her book, which is called Live Free or Die. That has been released on Kindle now, and so anybody who's really interested in this story and who wants to know sort of how it all began, I would definitely recommend that people check that out and purchase it on their Kindle. It's a great read, and Shona has a lot of important information to give people that might be interested and sort of what the process is and how unbelievable the results are that people can get by using this very safe medicine. So I look forward to continuing to fight this battle, and you know, it's time for all of us to come together to fight this war on the war on drugs, because it is time for that war to end. And we're not going to stop until the white flag has been raised by the war on drugs and we can all go about living our lives in a happy, healthy manner without threat of the government putting us in prison.
Excellent, Sarah. You're definitely on the winning team. Congratulations. Thank you ever so much for going on. We'll have to get you on again in the future, I'm sure, to hear more about the story. Thank you.
An idea that exists in the hearts of everyone. To put the resources into the hands of the people. To increase the quality and benefits of their life. Let's remove the middleman. Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Dark City Compassion Club awaits you. It's your radio.